Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let me tell you about Bobby Merrill. He's a child and family therapist, parenting consultant, trauma treatment specialist. She's also a best-selling international author as well as a past contributor to an award-winning relationship column for the Honolulu Advertiser and a freelance relationship columnist with her husband, Dr. Tom Merrill, for Cox News and the New York Times News Service. Bobby was honored in Honolulu magazine at the height of her career as one of Honolulu's most successful women. Now a grandmother and a conscious female voice, Bobby continues to remain passionate about inspiring all of us, herself included, to become our best selves in order to create a kinder, much more just and joyful humanity, living in a kinder, much more simpler, joyful world. Bobby, welcome to the program, and I couldn't resist playing that flipper opening for you.
I noticed that. I recognized it. And I actually swam with some of the flipper dolphins that Rick O'Berry trained. And they were in a pen. We were sailing off of in the Caribbean, and they were in a pen. And the man watching them let us get in the water and swim with them. So
they're gentle, aren't they?
Very, very sweet.
And I also heard they're very intelligent. They're probably more intelligent than most humans.
Well, that's the conclusion I came to after swimming in the water with wild dolphins throughout the world, actually, for 10 years. So I was in the water with them for thousands of hours and over a long stretch of time. And at first I doubted, you know, some of the things that I was seeing. I was skeptical, and they won me over, and then some. And I realized, whoa, they're way smarter than we are. So there's a lot of evidence of that, and I got to experience a lot of that.
Well, then they changed your life. We'll get into that. But how did you first connect with dolphins and whales? How did that happen for you?
Well, it's interesting because I was born in Hawaii in the 40s, and at that point, surprisingly, we didn't even realize we had dolphins in our waters there.
Really?
Nobody talked about it. Uh-huh. They weren't mentioned. They're not really talked about in Hawaiian lore. They talk more about the shark, and they might have been seeing dolphins, I don't know. The dolphins porpoise and the sharks swim in a straight line, so there's a difference. You can recognize it if you're, you know, tuned into that. But so I was born in the area where the Makua dolphins that I swam with, the spinners, on Oahu, actually live, and but we had no idea. Then we moved to a little town further away from that, and I used to surf. I grew up surfing, and we would see the fins in the water sometimes, but we thought they were shark fins.
Right, exactly.
And so it was those dolphins that I later swam with. And so I really had some, you know, some sort of serendipitous connection with them throughout my life. But it wasn't until I was close to 50 that I actually really tuned into them. And it started with captive dolphins at the Kahala Hotel on Oahu. And then I had some really big healing experience with one of those. And then I later heard about some people swimming with the dolphins, these Makua dolphins out in the country. And we were among the first people to swim with wild dolphins. So we didn't even know if it would be safe. And so
you would think they'd take a bite out of you or something. You wouldn't know.
We had no idea what they would do. And they're big and they're powerful. And they could, you know, whack you with their tail.
I've always said, Bobby, if they had arms and fingers and thumbs, they could do incredible things.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in their world, they do incredible things.
Yeah, they sure do.
They're not interested in high rises, so they, you know, they do other incredible things. But some of that is, you know, they draw bubble sculptures of actually quantum physics diagrams. And that's been reported in Scientific American, actually. They show the bubbles. And you can go online, actually, and see those bubbles. But they are actually If you look at what the diagrams of the bubbles are, they do bubbles of toroidals, and they actually do double helices that look like DNA. And so it gets very interesting the more time you spend with them.
Do they show emotion at all? The kind of emotion we understand?
Yes, very deeply. They, you see it most if they've lost a baby.
Oh, geez.
They will stay with their baby and carry the baby on their nostrum for days until they're ready to let go. And their pod stays with them, and they're just all very quiet and not talking and not purposing or...
Not happy.
Spinning. Yeah, they're very subdued. And you can feel the sadness.
Do they make different sounds, Bobby, when they're happy, when they're sad? Can you tell? I mean, are they chipper? Like, you know, we've always heard the flipper sound, you know, when he's really excited. But
if
they're upset, do they have different tones?
They have. The main thing they do is you really hear the chirping that you just did and the excitement. And spinners, of course, can spin, so they're leaping and spinning out of the water. And you can feel the joy. They're just spinning their joy and squealing and chattering. They make sonar click sounds, and the click sounds are quite different. They're quieter. They do that when they're doing healing work. They send their sonar to us, and you can feel it, and you can feel them actually doing something with your body. They have been known to heal tumors, and they do trauma treatment by they send their sonar tapping. They tap our bodies.
Jeez.
They can feel, I
know. Are they aware if we're sick?
Oh, yes, they are. I had a nephew became schizophrenic, and we took him into the water, and they just all rushed over to him, and they did a circle around him for 40 minutes while we were there.
My gosh.
You could tell that they just knew that he, you know.
No, and what did they try to do for him?
Well, they were very just supportive of him. He felt the love and the support.
Okay. Did he make him feel better when he came out?
He did. He did feel better. They didn't cure him. And I was, you know, we were all hopeful that they could. They do work with autistic children, children on the spectrum, and parents can see big changes. Sometimes children will speak after they've been with dolphins for the first time, and they're better. They're functioning better.
That's fascinating. But tell me about their healing properties. What do you think they're doing?
Well, it's interesting. I've tried to figure out what they're doing. One of the things is there's a story, too, of people who are pregnant. They know when you're pregnant. My daughter-in-law was pregnant when we were swimming with them, and they just could not leave her alone. They were just circling her.
And gentle.
Gentle, and they were upright in front of her under the water and looking at her, you know, going over to her tummy. And sometimes women that don't even know they're pregnant can tell that they are pregnant by the way the dolphins are with them. They just are very child-oriented. If you have a child with you in the water or on a boat with you, you're pretty guaranteed to have them come visit.
That's amazing.
And pets, too. They like your pets as well. So,
have you ever seen a dolphin to be violent?
I've never seen that in the 10 years I was underwater with them. I had, I've heard this, and I had that if they're unhappy with you and they don't want you around, they'll come at you jaw clapping. They don't do anything. They just jaw clap.
They scare you, I guess.
Yeah, and they just make you feel like, whoa, that's a boundary. I think I'll respect that. When they did that to me once, I had no idea what I'd done or why they didn't want me in the water, but I got out. It was very clear.
Did you ever figure out what happened?
I didn't in that situation, but another time, a group of us were in the water with the dolphins, and they were clearly trying to herd us toward the shore, and we all kind of came up with the idea that there must be a shark in the water. We could feel it. We could feel the severity of their energy. And then a lifeguard came from the beach down the way and said, watch out, a shark from our beach just swam toward your beach.
You know how we can talk into a computer now, and if you want to speak French and you don't know how, you speak your English into the computer, and the computer spits out the words in French or any language. Have we been able to do that yet with dolphin sounds or dolphin language, where we record a dolphin sound and we're able to convert it into some kind of human-type voice?
I have not heard of that.
I bet that's next.
It would be nice if it would, if we could do that. The dolphins have been taught grammar and our language, which they then convey not by vocalizing it, but by spelling it out.
That would be dramatic, wouldn't it?
It is, and they do the grammar correctly too, which is interesting.
Tell us about the book, Compelling Conversations with Dolphins and Whales in the Wild.
Well, after I had this experience, well, it actually started while I was in the middle of the experience. It took me a while to figure out what was going on, but I was really very strongly drawn to just be at the beach and get in the water with them and see what was going on. And then I would have an experience, and I realized that, you know, they're communicating with me. They are sending me messages. And some of them are simple messages, and they're letting me know they can understand me and read my thoughts. And they set up ways of showing me that they could understand me. They were good teachers. They just set up good projects to make it clear to me that they were understanding me. And they would reward me if I understood them. And they set up a reward system. And so they did that by what? One day I was in the water and there were no dolphins around, and I was singing, he's got the whole world in his hands. And about 50 dolphins showed up, and they were very quiet underneath me and just very calm. And I looked, and it would just look strange. It looked really different than the way they usually look. And so they all were in pairs, and they had touching flippers. And I thought, oh my gosh, are they holding hands? And so when I had that in my mind, the ones underneath me pulled apart and showed me that they had been touching flippers, and then they went back together.
That's something.
Yeah.
And they communicate with each other?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
How far underwater can they communicate in terms of distance? What do you think?
You know, I assumed at first that it was local, but it's non-local.
It goes far, doesn't it, underwater?
Yes, it does. And I was going down to Bimini to swim with dolphins in Bimini, and when I was waiting for water plane, I can't remember what those are called, but to fly down to Bimini. We were in a airport.
Seaplanes, they call them.
Seaplanes, yes, thank you. We were a small airport in Florida, and there was a canal. And I was sitting and waiting. I looked up, and I saw a dolphin in the canal. And so I went over, and I asked the woman if dolphins go in the canal. She said, very rarely. You know, it's just really like they're lost or something that they go. And that dolphin was just, you know, upright and looking at me, and I just felt like they realized that I was coming. The other thing that makes me realize that is that the reward system they set up with me is to blow bubbles if I got a thought correct. If I understood their meaning, then they would blow a bubble. And I love the bubbles, and so I would ask for more bubbles and more proof.
To kind of let you know you're right.
Yes, exactly. So I'd get a lot of bubbles, and I'd ask for more. I was just greedy about it. And so then when I would travel to other places, the dolphins there would blow bubbles, and the boat captains would say, we haven't seen that before.
Could you tell Bobby if there was a leader of the pack or anything like that?
You can, and it's really energetic too. It's just a it's an energy It's interesting because I went to Sea Life Park on Oahu, which is, you know, their largest dolphinarium.
Right.
And they do shows and things. And the trainers there had one of the females, Laka, was a leader. She was dominant. And sometimes she would have the other dolphins in her dominance. She would basically have them not cooperate with the trainers. And so the trainers knew she was the alpha dolphin. And so they would separate her from them because she was encouraging them not to mind the commands of the trainers. But they knew, you know, they picked up that she was the one that was doing it. They could figure out which dolphin was doing that. I never asked them how, but I understood how, because I could tell which of the dolphins I was in the water with were the dominant ones.
Whales, you mentioned in your book as well, do they have the same kind of techniques as dolphins?
You know, it's very different. The energy is just very different. The dolphins are squealing and playing and jumping around. And
having a grand old time.
They do, and they're really playful. The whales, you know, will really get into breaching, too. And when they do that, they're having a good time. You can tell they're just showing off, and they're entertaining, and they're enjoying that as well. But
they're not as approachable, are they, or can they be?
They are, actually. They're very kind, but their energy is you know, and it seems obvious, but it's bigger. It's just bigger, bigger energy. Not only are they bigger, but the energy is bigger. And it's
they could swallow you whole if they wanted to, right?
You know, my first encounter with a whale was there was literally a small building, and it's terrifying.
Oh my God! I bet
they could just slap you with their
tail
fin and you'd be done. And so they get very still and quiet around you to allow you to be near them, and it's their choice. If they decide to do that. And the first one that I saw actually was lying on her back, and she had her pectoral fins, out wide to the sky, just like offering an embrace to the swimmers who were then swimming. We were swimming above her. And she stayed there for 40 minutes like that, just let us just be over her while she was on her back with her fins outstretched to greet us.
Would you say that you have dolphins? Are you still in Hawaii, or have you moved out of there?
I've moved out of Hawaii. I'm in Washington now, near the orca.
Okay, interesting. Do they recognize you?
They do. Absolutely.
That's fascinating.
They you know, they'll come up when you get in the water. My adventure with dolphins started with the captive dolphins at the Kohala. Mandarin Hotels.
I bet they're not too happy being captive, are they?
You know, it's definitely hard on them. And the one, Eva, who is one of the stars of my book, was captured when she was older, so she really knew what she was missing.
Oh, my God, absolutely.
Yeah, you could feel her pain, but also her kindness in being a healing dolphin and showing us the ways of the wild dolphins, because not the ones that are born from captive parents in captivity don't have the same depth that she had.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.